The Richmond Theatre Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theatre with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
Welcome to Curtain Call, Act 5, Scene 20. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter. Originally, we'd planned to air the third part of our Artsy series this week, but then we realized that Firehouse would be opening The Picture of Dorian Gray, a one-man recounting of the novel featuring Billy Christopher Maupin. So we're holding off on that Artsy's final for two more weeks, so I can first chat with Joel Basson about why they decided to present a show under the current conditions and how they've gone about making it safe and accessible, which included the first streaming performance on Friday, June 26th. After Joel, Jolinda Lewis will join me to discuss our experience with the production. And I'm here with Joel Basson, the artistic director of Firehouse. Joel, welcome back to Curtain Call.
Thanks for having me, Jerry.
So we're going to talk about your revolutionary plan. The Picture of Dorian Gray, the one-man show with Billy Christopher Maupin, is, as far as we know, one of the first plays to be produced in the country with an audience?
Yeah, I think that's right. It's hard to Google, like, you know, what plays are happening during the pandemic, but I think we are among the first.
So tell me what your theory was. I know that the audience was 2 to 6 people. Why 2 to 6 people, and what else are you doing to take precautions to make people comfortable coming actually live into the theater?
The maximum of 6 people was based on how many people we felt we could eliminate risk for. Keep them physically distant, both in the theater, give them individual bathrooms, keep them socially distant in the lobby if they leave the theater at intermission. It's weird to do a show for that few people, but it feels like the safest way to do a show for people.
So how has that reaction been from the people who are sitting in the theater? What have you heard in terms of their experiences and how it's working out for them?
What we do is we ask people to leave the theater immediately after the performance ends. Most of the audiences have been friends of BC's or of Shirley's.
Let me interrupt you real quickly just to say BC is Billy Christopher Maupin, who's playing the role, and Shirley Kagan is the director.
So a number of the folks that have come have wanted to talk to BC after the show. So I haven't really had a chance to talk to anybody. I've gotten a few emails saying, what a great thing. We love the show. You know, my position is that because we're trying to do this Picture of Dorian Gray as a hybrid, I'm calling it, between a theater performance and experiencing a novel. And so for me as the producer, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 people is really good. For BC as the performer, it's a very strange experience because the feedback loop of that audience actor energy is very different.
And you know, it's interesting because when I watch the show, there is one great line that BC says about reading from the book when they go to the theater. He says, and the theater was packed. And of course, he does this little look around the theater of 2 people, which was a nice little in joke for everybody watching, obviously. I saw it streamed, and a number of people have watched it streamed. I know you've only had one streaming experience so far. How has that gone, and what are your plans for that in the future?
The first public streaming that you tuned in for, it was the Murphy's Law of Theater. Right. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong. We had 8 very clean rehearsal streams before that, no problems whatsoever. And then it was just a whole series of disasters. We think we've worked them all out. And the other thing that I've walked away from is that it proves that there are ghosts in theaters. Because all during the stream, we were trying to troubleshoot. We couldn't see anything wrong on our end. We were more interested in why things went wrong, like with the sound and the video and the buffering and all that. And we've since tested a couple things and we're back to where we were before that disastrous stream, which is that we're able to get a clean signal. There's no buffering. The sound is good. So we shall see what happens the next time.
And speaking of the future, the show is actually scheduled to run through August 7th at this point. Do you envision it changing? Will it possibly be able to open up to more than 6 people?
What we're doing is, as long as BC is available and around, and as long as there's demand, we will keep extending it. I don't see in, you know, the immediate future the ability to sort of add more people. The feedback I have gotten, and it reinforces what I really believe, is that any more than 6 increases risk or allows for risk that right now we feel pretty good there isn't any. The stream setup is taking about 1/4 of the theater up. So on non-streaming nights, we might be able to get a couple more people in, but I don't think we're ever going to get to 10. And if we get to 10, we're never going to go beyond 10 until, you know, external circumstances change.
So, Joel, I know that this season has been called a season of discovery. This whole experience has certainly been one of quite a bit of discovery and new ideas for you. And I want to applaud you and Firehouse for making this effort to keep us entertained and enlightened. And I think maybe you might want to consider contacting an exorcist too for the Firehouse.
Well, funny you should mention, we did have a smudging process. So we had a whole procession through the entire building, chanting and the sage burning. And I think they're friendly spirits, but they like to yank our chain a little. And they might not like the idea of streaming theater. They might believe, no, if you're going to see theater, you got to come into the space.
There you go. Just depends on who those ghosts are. Well, thank you again, Joel. Good to talk to you as usual.
Thanks a lot, Jerry. Take care.
So Jalinda Lewis and I were the only critics who were able to watch the streaming show last week. So we're going to talk about the show. Jalinda, what were your initial impressions?
Well, before you can talk about the show, we actually, I think, have to address the issue of the streaming.
Right, right.
Which to me was a major impediment to being able to fairly assess what happened with the show, because there was so much of a breakup.
The buffering.
A lot of buffering, the sound wasn't clear. I actually tried running it on two different devices thinking that it might have been me, but you could see in the comments that everybody was having the same issues, and some people even signed off and said, let me know when you get this fixed and we'll come back.
Right, right.
So it's kind of difficult to talk about how the show went when you had all these other issues and the two are inseparable.
And of course, Joel did talk about in the interview. So they're aware of it and they have taken full responsibility for the technical issues that were on their end. He blamed it on a ghost in the theater.
Which, you know, there's something to be said about that. Another thing is that this was over 2 hours with intermission.
Yeah, 2.5 hours with intermission.
And I think that when you are doing something that's on video or streaming, you have to take into consideration, time seems longer when you're watching it on a small screen than when you're there live.
Right.
So it was much, much too long.
Yeah, I agree. Well, now I actually watched it. I was able to mirror cast it from my phone to my big TV. So I was able to sit and relax and watch it, which most people can't do. So that helped a little bit.
Oh, I did that as well. I was watching it on a 55-inch screen.
Oh, okay. So, and of course, the quality was not very good. It was a little muddy. It reminded me of 90s videos, back when people were first launching videos on the internet, and the quality was very low. Moving past that, yes, we did agree. And of course, they've acknowledged that that was not a great experiment. But in terms of the show itself,
there were some parts of it that I thought were beautiful little gems, but that was kind of overshadowed by the fact that I had a difficult time telling which part of the story he was in. The set was, you know, fairly simple, but the coverings on the chair that kept changing, I assume, was to let us know what was going on, but it wasn't full.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense. You didn't know what those were about.
Yeah, so I had a hard time discerning changes of scene and character and the progression of time.
I agree. I felt like Billy Christopher is a strong actor, and he had a very assured presence, and he kept my attention most of the time. And there, like you said, there were some very dramatic moments. I think it worked some. I thought director Shirley Kagan, I didn't think she did anything more than just kind of a routine staging, and she kept the pace kind of consistently slow the whole time, so that really never lent itself to much dramatic momentum.
I agree, and it's very rare that I totally agree with you, Jerry.
As I discussed with Noel, this is a noble experiment. It's one of the first shows in the country to be presented live in the theater, and of course the streaming.
That in itself is a historic, significant moment to be noted. And the first in Richmond, people were wondering, how can he do this? Why is he doing this? And somebody had to be first.
Right.
And there are a lot of lessons to be learned from that. So, you know, I wouldn't underplay the value in that.
Absolutely. I agree with you that. So they actually will be streaming the show again on July 18th at this point, Joel thinks, and they will actually be running through August 7th at this point. So there will be opportunities, even with a theater of 2 to 6 people, for other people to see it. We have been talking about The Picture of Dorian Gray, which was presented at Firehouse. I promise in 2 weeks, we'll have the final installment of our 3-part curtain call on the Artsies. It'll feature Karen Newton discussing her experiences for 5 years as a member of the Theater Alliance panel. Philip Crosby from Richmond Triangle Players will lend his views to the effect the awards have on local theaters. And Desiree Roots will recount the biggest snafu in the 13-year history of the show. Meanwhile, in keeping with our Lucky 13 theme, I want to remind all theater professionals that we're looking for their best story of a live theater mishap to include in the ARCES this year. Visit our website for submission details.
This is Julinda Lewis with RVA Art Review, pandemic version.
This is Jerry Williams from Sifter. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, visit the Richmond Theater Critics Circle website at artsies.org.